and welcome. My name is Christoph Kemper, founder of Link Research Tools, and this is my link building and SEO podcast. And I got a very relevant, very on topic, on theme guest today for you. It's the amazing Dixon Jones, marketing director of Majestic.
Hey, Dixon. Christoph, how are you doing?
Oh, great! I'm pleased. I'm honored to have you here on the show. And you know, I know you for so many years, and your partner Alex for so many years. But maybe for the listeners that do not know Majestic or do not know you as a person, who are you and what's your background?
So I used to run a search consultancy way back in the day, but in around about 2009, I teamed up with Alex to start working on Majestic. It was Majestic SEO back then, and bring it to market. And he was still in his front room at the time, and we thought that we probably had to get a bit bigger than that. And so now the site's in 13 languages. We've got customers in over 100 countries, and you know, we have arguments with other people, but you know, I think we've got the biggest link index on the planet, and what we've really got is the flow metrics, so the an understanding underneath those metrics to understand just how good every web page is in relation to every other web page, and not just by taking somebody else's data, but by getting the raw internet, because we're one of the biggest web crawlers on the planet now.
Wow, that's impressive, and I love your product, and so many others do as well. And you know,
yours
when
too.
We yeah, of course, thank you. And you know, when we got an API integration with you as well, where users can, you know, plug in and connect with all these things. Yep. As well. So but you have two different indices, and you are very open about that, but I found out that some people do not read that precisely. You got a fresh index and a historic index, and what's the difference?
It's really worth understanding the difference for some people. I mean, I start out by saying, look, if you don't know the difference, just use the fresh index, which probably gets me into trouble because you know better. But I usually say to people, look, the fresh index, that's probably what's happening now. That's a good indication of what's happening now. But in truth, the fresh index is every web page that we've crawled over a 90-day crawl cycle. So that means you can have loads of pages that have been around for, you know, 10, 20 years, and they'll be in the fresh index because we've seen them in the last 90 days. If they're very, very poor pages, they don't get linked to by anything, or they become orphaned, then after 90 days, they'll drop out the index and our crawler will never get to them again because it's got more important things to do. But in that instance, it will stay in the historic index, and the historic index still goes back over 5 years. So you've got a lot of information in there. But the reason that we have two indexes is because there is so much information in the historic index. It's so large, and that it takes a month to do the calculations on the flow metrics. Our flow metrics are not built on the fly. You really do have to understand the whole matrix of the web to be able to do the maths, and it takes a month. So the fresh index, we can do the metrics on the fresh index in around about a day, sometimes a day and a few hours. So you've got a really fresh amount of data going in. It does mean that poor pages will drop off into the historic ether, and will still exist. So there will be links that exist in the historic index, but important links will always stay in the fresh index unless we get blocked from crawling the page.
So the historic index has all the low priority sub pages of some forums and maybe some blogs that archive that away that are not revisited so often.
And deleted links. So both indexes do contain deleted links. So we will flag, if we see a page going off, we will flag it as deleted. The thing is, in the fresh index, after 90 days, that will drop out of the index altogether. So you can never have any links in there that are too old, if you see what I mean, that have broken and too old. If we don't see it, it goes down. So, and that's an interesting thing. You can look at lots of different link indexes, and most of the other ones, you know, will have different parameters on there. So when you look at raw link counts, you might find yourself not comparing like with like, which tends to happen quite a lot.
So historic contains also deleted links and not only deleted.
Yeah, they both contain deleted links, but there is a lot of deleted stuff in the internet because not a lot of pages hang around for 10 years in exactly the same form. You know, WordPress being a good example because, you know, 2 minutes later, a page changes its URL.
Now that's great update. And I heard this, you know, misunderstanding or misinterpretation also from several people in the last month, especially, that they thought the historic index is like a history log, like a revision log, you know, that you have in a database or the transaction log or something, where they thought only that the leaded links would go to the historic, so they wouldn't want to care for that in a link audit.
Yeah, no, you will find live links in the historic index. The bigger the site, you know, the more likely you'll find some in there.
It's actually, that confirms what we've seen. You know, when we have these huge global brands where we import 280 million also from the historic index and recrawl that in link research tools, we find, you know, that of course a ton of the links get broken or deleted or redirected. But in this example, 280 historic in up to 5 years old, we found 80 million new links on pages on those sites or on those pages where they just changed in the last 5 years, obviously.
Yeah, what somebody can do is, if they really want to get it all together, they can. We have a URL submitter, so they could resubmit the historic index into our crawler. We then go and recrawl all of them, and then we've gone and looked at those pages again within the 90-day cycle. That'll take a few days to sort its life out, and you can't do it if you're Twitter or Google. But you know, but if your links are sort of somewhere in the realms of, you know, of possibilities, then you know, you could do that, because you can put up to 100,000 URLs into our URL submitter.
You mean 100,000 in one batch, or 100,000?
Yeah, you can upload up to 100,000 in one batch, yeah.
So if I send you 100 million URLs I get from you in the historic, submit it there, you recrawl those 100 million URLs.
So no, 100,000, Christoph.
Ah, 100,000, okay.
See, this is you. Every time I speak to you, you just talk in data with three more zeros than every other customer or every other person that I've ever talked to.
Okay, got it. Okay, but this is how, for Majestic, we could push basically links into the fresh index that we want in the fresh index.
Yeah, so it's not guaranteed. We don't guarantee that we'll crawl every single page, because we will get blocked from some. Mm-hmm. Some of them won't exist anymore anyway, because they will indeed be dead. Yeah. So some of them, you know, we won't get to. And also, we have our own rules in our crawler to try and stop hitting, you know, any website too hard and that sort of
right,
thing. So yeah,
right.
So it's not guaranteed, but yeah.
How do you solve the problem, you know, when we talk about crawling, that, you know, especially SEOs have their link networks spread out on many different servers, many different IPs, but still on the same physical host? Do you have a detection for that problem as well? Because they look like they're very different, but when you hit on that, it's the same VPS from this guy that has 100 IPs attached to it.
Well, all on the same server.
Yeah.
So we divide them out by IPs. So and we do also geotarget as well. So
okay.
It depends how he's mapped the IPs. If he's gone and got IPs from all around the world, or that were originally designed for being all around the world and put them on a server, then it depends on whether our geotargeting software is going to get that right. From that perspective, I think you can certainly make out that all your websites are from different. All of your links are from different websites. The thing that happens there is that almost certainly they won't get trust flow into those links.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Speaking of trust flow, but something even more important, you know, the first seen date is something that is always, you know, confused, or where people think a link is new.
Yeah.
How does that work with the fresh and the historic index?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Christoph. So because the fresh index is made up of 90 different crawls, up to 90 different crawls of the internet. So we crawl, say, you know, 7 billion URLs a day, or whatever the thing is, different URLs, and it builds up an index. And then we've got a 90-day set of, or 90 sets of crawl data, and we then show the first found date as the first found date within that 90 days. Now, of course, a lot of those links will have been around for much more than 90 days. So the way that we put it in our system is, if it's in the first 5 to 7 days of that, we put a little less than sign on the date to say it's probably older than that, but you know, it's at least as old as this. You could then look it up in the historic index, and if you found it in there, you would find the earliest first found date, because there we're looking at all the indexes that we've run in the historic index. You'll find a much earlier date. But the first found date is only relative to the index that you've got. So fresh index, you'll only find dates in the last 90 days. Historic index, you'll find dates in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Or more.
Wow. Impressive. It's complex stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's because we get the stuff going back really, really quickly. We've built it, you know, like a proper search engine. So it really is a fire hose when the data comes back. So you type something into Majestic and it just comes back, you know, as quick as Google does, possibly not quite, but we're not talking very different, really. So it's and, you know, when people pull APIs and things, you know, I think we stand out as really having a robust API because we've got that efficiency in the system. But the cost of that is, you know, you can't, if we merged those into one big data set, then you would spend minutes looking up all the stuff because it's got to kind of do things. And then you'd have two different sets of maths on the flow metrics as well. So complications come when you're dealing with big data that you don't necessarily understand, or people don't understand when they're playing with Excel.
Yeah, I think, but this is also where, you know, Majestic is so different from LRT, and Majestic is, you know, trying to approach the whole web, like you said, the whole internet in a database or in two databases. While our philosophy has always been to just get whatever we can for a client or for, you know, one domain or for a set of domains of a client, and then refresh whatever, you know, we find from you, from Google Search Console, all these things combined, and have a very different philosophy of
it's
what
totally we different, tried. Isn't it? It's totally different. And the two and both of them exist, and this is why, you know, we love each other so much and chat at conferences instead of not. It's because you're tailoring whatever the data and the sources and the information that you can get for the client once they've made their search criteria to you, whereas I need to have this information for every single website on the planet, and I need to have that information. I say I, you know, Majestic.
Yeah, Majestic.
And we need to have all that information to be able to do the maths for the flow metrics. So our first priority is to get enough of the internet to have a meaningful map of the internet. And only then can we then give you the best links, or we can give you the links that are only linked from eBay or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. How do you handle, you know, bot blocking? You know, robots.txt, you adhere to your robots.txt to not get into trouble with your ISPs, I guess.
Yeah.
But from a competitive intelligence standpoint, that means every SEO that really does something and wants to hide something can do so by blocking, you know, Majestic, blocking Ahrefs, blocking Moz, blocking all these bots. So his links wouldn't or shouldn't show up in your database.
It's interesting. We do block we do obey robots.txt. Yeah. And so we do get blocks from websites. There's a couple of interesting things. The first is, of course, we've got information about that website because we can see all the links to that website. So we'll still report on the links to that website. But the other thing that happens there is, yes, they can block their outbound links and start selling links that we can't see or something like that. That usually depresses the value of a link if people can't see any value in, can't see the flow metrics going in. But more importantly, blocking Majestic bot leaves a big, big question, which anybody can see if you're a bot. So you can say, why does somebody want to block Majestic, or for that matter, Ahrefs or Moz? Because if they're just normal people, they wouldn't do that. They're doing it for a reason. And there's only two reasons. One is to protect bandwidth, in which case it's an extremely cheap hosting provider. Because let's face it, you know, we're not that demanding. Or they're doing it to hide something. And so I think those two things together leave more questions long term. And bear in mind that we will record when we saw the block. So we know when people have started to hide things. So we're finding we keep a track of how much we get blocked. And whilst it may surface in the PBN world quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It also creates a flag, but you know, we're not too worried about that. We could get around it in all sorts of different ways, but we choose not to. We choose to let people come to the realization that we're good guys and we're trying to do more good on the internet than bad on the internet.
And the bot blocking history for a domain, is that something that I can look at in Majestic to, you know, spot PBNs easier?
Well, if it's blocked by robots.txt, you can go into the historic index and find out the last date that we tried to hit it. So there's some information there, or the first found date of that that block. So we have some dates and stuff. We've got some ideas. It gives us clues.
If you can see that, then Google can see that, and that is actually the issue, that the so wonderfully hided links were actually marked as, I don't want to, you know, my fellow competitor SEOs see these links.
Yeah.
This is what I tell to Google as well. Hey, Google, I don't want my competitors to see these links, just in case.
Well, I mean, if they're sitting there and looking at, if there's quality engineers sitting there and looking to see whether a link looks like it's hidden or trying to deceive Google, do you think that they wouldn't just have a quick look at the robots.txt or try and test with our user agent to see whether whether this website is blocking our bot? I mean, it's not beyond the wit of man to figure out that, you know, there may be a deception occurring.
It's a huge footprint. I would call this a link network footprint that is very easy and cheap to spot without even someone, you know, noticing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Glad we agree on that one. you know, it's helpful to find, you know, unnatural links, even on some sub pages of highly trusted domains. And this is something, you know, that Tom Miller just recently mentioned, where he talked about how unnatural links are also possible in good domains, which puzzled me because my understanding was that people, you know, always saw it that way, that you could sneak in, of course, paid links and hacked links into really good sites, which, you know, is the total opposite of those people promoting that they would only look at a domain to know if it's a good or bad, well, links coming from it, right?
Yeah. Obviously, an unnatural link is an unnatural link depending on how it was created, you know, emotionally how it's created, I think.
Yeah.
And the ethos behind the link in the first place. But I mean, obviously they're going to be a lot harder to spot if they're just dropped in on the odd website. What tends to happen though is that probably authors are going around. So if you're an influential author, you have to write as yourself because that's your influence is part of it. If you're then selling links, then once you've seen that this person has been selling links on this article here, instead of going around the domain, you know, why wouldn't Google then start following the author and say, let's go and find all the blog posts by that author and consider those? So I think it's a very it's a difficult game for Google to play with that one, but if they think that somebody is selling links, then they're not starting to track by domain. They're trying to track by person, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And this is why, you know, in 2015, we started extracting link authors and page authors, you know, out of the article, you know, where they basically say written by this guy, you know, with a Facebook, with a LinkedIn, with a Twitter and all these things that we moved then into our Impactana index to look up at. Because that makes so much more sense. Any article on any great website, you know, would be good. But if it's just one author that would be corrupt and get paid for the links, then that is what Google wants to find. So I think we agree again, Dixon.
Harder for them to find, though, isn't it?
You know. Yeah. Well, sometimes it is, but you know, there's no one size fits all. There's no perfect match. We only can get as good as, you know. You know, we can try and get better all the time. And this is also something that I kept preaching for the last couple of months regarding, you know, increasing the number of backlinks to be audited and making sure that people audit all the available backlinks. And I found it constantly, you know, under discussion, that people came up with the idea that they could, you know, understand a backlink profile by looking at a few percent of the backlinks, you know, having a cheap plan of link research tools, just looking at 10,000 links or 100,000 links when they actually had 20 million.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? It depends a little bit on what they want to do, as to how much they can take. If you're trying to find good links or good candidates or good, you know, good information, then you can generally start with the good links. But if you're trying to find the bad stuff, the stuff you need to disavow, that's a harder job, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a more time-intensive job, yeah.
Yeah, and then especially, you know, data from the historic index would be beneficial to that, right?
Yeah.
The older, low priority and poor pages.
Yeah, it would be, because that's where all the real dross is, because, you know, if we've crawled it 3 years ago, Google crawled it 3 years ago, and so it was there, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's still a lot of, I mean, you know, manual actions, that's more of a sales psychology to get rid of that one. You know, if you're good communicating with Google, I mean, kind of, there, I heard of some cases where it was really not the link removal or the disavow that got the manual action gone. But for Penguin, all the links impacting the Penguin algorithms and the calculations right now, especially when they are so fine granular on pages or on keywords, where you would not even see that the full impact, because it's not a 0 or 100%, it's rather something in between, then this gets even more important, where you would not, you know, if you only have a fraction of your backlink profile actually audited.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It is hard. And it's also, we can never get it perfect, you know, and I'm sure you'll tailor out and tailor things, and because you're really, really drilling down on a website, you'll get some more granularity that we perhaps wouldn't see at times. Yeah. But it's still impossible to sort of say, yeah, this is it. You'll be perfect and everything right, because of course, all the data sets are different, and you're getting closer to the truth.
Yeah,
but you'll never get exactly the same map. There's an interesting have you ever heard of the cartographer's dilemma? If a guy is trying to make a map of whatever, and he's trying to make it more and more and more and more accurate, ultimately the only way he can make it accurate is if he builds an exact replica of the original. So you know, you can't do that. And so all these, you know, all the will in the world, you know, Google is not looking at all the links and all the pages on the internet. We're not looking at all the links and all the pages on the internet. But both of us have the vast majority, and certainly the vast majority of the big ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good analogy. And then maybe another question regarding the link age. I also heard this, you know, that people said, yeah, you know, if a link is older than 1 year, then we're not interested in it because it doesn't work anymore anyways.
Yeah, there's two things there. The first thing is, an old link is still a really, really important link. You know, if a link has been on the homepage of the BBC for 10 years and you think it isn't, every time Google goes along and sees it's still there, it says, yeah, that's fresh again now. That's great. I like that. That's my current view of the world. So, yeah, an old link is still a good link if it's on a good page. If it's an old link on a post that's now gone into obscurity and now has no links into it itself and becomes an orphan page on the internet, then yeah, it loses its value. If it's on the homepage of a website or on a easy to get to page, or page that has generated links that have given it trust flow over time or page rank over time, then that will stay, and that will be, you know, a foundation on the internet. But there's another analogy, which is, you know, just because the Katrina hurricane is no longer in New Orleans doesn't mean there's not an effect. So that also means that a deleted link can leave an effect. The fact that there was an article on the BBC on the homepage had an effect. It created a lot of people going to see that webpage. Then other people linked to that webpage. The page on the BBC then went, but the other links from other people will still remain. So even deleted links have their value and in interpretation, because they will help form what has happened on the internet now. So if you, yeah, so there's lots of ways of looking at it, but basically old links still good if they've got links to them, and dead links still will have created the internet that we see today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And you got that history. You have that history in your database. So Google has that as well, right?
We don't know, but they don't seem prone to throwing information away, do they?
Yeah, no, they don't at all. Google, the internet doesn't forget, but actually Google doesn't forget.
Yeah, I think so. And they've got the PageRank algorithm. So that still, that leaves a legacy, just like our flow metrics can, because it picks up, what has happened and the effects of that. And okay, the link has gone and has no direct relationship, but what that created as a result of being up is left behind. And flow metrics or PageRank and those algorithms, kind of represent that fairly well, I think.
Mm-hmm. So if I had like 10,000 of deleted links, links to me from spammy sites that were deleted, would you suggest to even disavow them then, just to be sure?
If they're deleted and they've gone, then I think you're okay. I would say. Google is not going to. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no harm in disavowing a dead link. There's no harm in disavowing. If it's a spammy link, then the belt and braces. Why not?
Well, we actually have an option, in Link Detox, which is part of Link Research Tools, for the link audits and the toxic links. We have an option to show deleted links for a simple use case. Number one, of course, to send it to Google search people, search engineers.
Yep.
But number two, for preventive preventive disavows on the domain level. So if there were a lot of spammy domains linking to me, and they are spammy domains like, buy Jeep dash Viagra dash or cash on delivery dash super spammy, I never wanted a link there, and I certainly don't want a link from there in the future to count. So these preventive disavows are kind of a thing that we also recommend to our clients, and also do this for all sorts of those churn and burn content scrapers. Even just because the link was there, it doesn't mean they won't scrape me tomorrow and have another crappy link showing up.
We have another problem on Majestic. We've got a link network that decides to, every time it sees our user agent, it tries to 301 it to our website, which is that's the biggest flag I've ever seen. How they think that's a good idea, I don't know. Anyway, I've had a chat with some people, and it's not going to affect my Google data in the slightest.
That's good. All right. Well, Dixon, we're actually heading to 27 minutes. I wanted to keep this short and sweet, but this is so exciting that I have a final question. A favorite trick or hidden tool or inside LRT or in your tool or a golden SEO trick that gets people rich overnight or something like that. And then we have to, wrap this up.
A get rich quick tool. and people like give you that one, so well, I'll say that everybody can get their own data on they can verify their own websites on Majestic for free. A lot of people seem to think that Majestic is an expensive tool. You can get your own data for free on Majestic, just as long as you don't block my bot.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a great giveaway. That's a great tip. And this is certainly underpromoted.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd let me tell you. So.
All right. Dixon, thank you very much for this. I say goodbye for today. I wish you a wonderful day, a night, weekend. And I hope to have you soon on the show and see you again on one of all these conferences.
Thanks a lot, Christoph. It was really nice to be with you.
Thank you very much, Dixon. Yeah, there was a Dixon Jones of Majestic. And thank you very much again, Dixon, and everyone listening. Thank you very much. And I look forward to your questions and feedback and for maybe your appearance in my show if you have anything to do with links and SEO. Thank you very much. My name is Christoph Kemper of Link Research Tools out of Vienna. Bye-bye.